Got a copy of God's Word. I'd like for you to open it up if you would, and let's look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. I want us to look at today. We're going to be talking about when God messes with our plans, when God changes the trajectory of our lives, when He changes some things that we were planning to do. He may totally change the direction of our life. He may tweak it. He may give us insights that we don't have. But the story of Mary and Joseph is a story of God changing our lives, messing up with our plans. So it's just really a good thing for us to look at this this time of year, because God is doing that. And maybe He's doing it in your life. And this is going to be a real revelational time for you. Just something for you to think about in these holiday times when maybe you're experiencing some real challenging days or hours, that it will cause you just to stop, you know, and to say, Father, you're trying to get my attention? Is that what this is about? Because I have certainly, you know, stopped. I've gotten still. And I want to hear from you if you're seeking to speak to me. So let's look at Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. He was sent to a virgin who was engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, the angel said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But Mary was very perplexed at this statement, and she kept pondering what kind of salutation this was about being favored. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb, and you'll bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus." That's very specific, isn't it? She's very specific about what's happening in her life, but her life is definitely changing. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, because nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. All right, so I hope you got your life point outline this morning. What I want to just think about is that God loves you and me so much. The Bible says that there will be times that God will sovereignly walk into my life and your life, and He will change our trajectory. Because God wants us to remember and understand one thing. He said, "I want you to understand that your life and my life is only one small part of a much bigger story." God is saying there's something big going on here. I've got a plan and I'm working that. And your life plays a part in all of that. That's the story of Christianity. Now, you think about Mary. Mary had her life planned. According to Scripture, Mary was going to wed Joseph. She was going to move into a house that Joseph obviously would have built, probably made most of the furniture that was there because he was a carpenter. So that was all laid out. That was nice. I'm sure she had some input into, you know, what was put into the house and how it was going to be made, you know, use some of your finest stuff, that kind of thing. And so in Mary's mind, I'm sure she and Joseph, you know, were going to enjoy being able to live together. They were going to live there in Nazareth. They would, you know, get used to married life and then kind of settle into that. And then they were going to, I'm sure, start a family. The whole idea would be, you know, we'll start, have some kids, and we'll grow old together and ultimately enjoy our grandkids. I mean, not anything different from what you and I would think about doing in our life. That's what Mary planned. And she got it, kinda. But it was different from what she was thinking about. The story of her life totally changed. And that's what I want us to just focus on this morning. God, understand this, guys. God has a plan for every life. And Mary was going to be part of a much bigger story than she could ever imagine. And God did interrupt her life, but it was going to be so much better. It was going to have its challenges, but it was going to be so much better. And the main thing I want you to understand is God messed with her plans. And it's just a reality. Here's the truth in your outline. If you got your life point outline, Mary's story is of a life interrupted. And when you think about your life, I want you to think about the interruptions in it, because I've certainly had interruptions in my life, you know, even being here. I was going to be somewhere, you know, having a dental practice. That was my plan. From the time I was, you know, like in the sixth grade, that's the way it was going to be. And of course, God had a totally different trajectory for my life. You know, that's not why I made you. That's not why I created you in your mother's womb. And that's what God is saying to all of us. God is saying, there's nobody here under the sound of my voice that is an accident. You're not an accidental birth. God says, I'm Lord of the womb. God is the one who opens the womb, closes the womb. He has taught us that in Scripture. God is Lord of the womb. That's the reason why he says abortion is against his will. Every child is a plan. Every child is a plan. And God has a purpose for every life. The question is, what do you do? How do you handle it in your life if you are a God follower, you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? How do you handle it when life goes sideways? Where do you kind of put that in your mind when life's not going the way that you plan? What do you do when it appears that somebody has messed up your life? They've stepped in and life interrupted, okay? What do you do when God changes your plans? Because that is the story of Christmas. That's Christmas. A bunch of people's lives got changed, the direction that they were going. Nobody's life turned out the way they originally thought it was going to, right? I mean, the shepherds even. I mean, they talked about that, you know, probably for the rest of their lives, that night that the angels, you know, appeared in heaven. It totally changed the trajectory of their life. Gabriel, one of God's archangels, was sent to Mary with one message. And that message was, Mary, God has sent me to let you know he has a plan. And it's really going to be different from what you've been thinking. And so basically, I think Gabriel came with a 3-point plan. The plan was, number one, God's will is you're going to get pregnant before the wedding, and it's not going to be Joseph's child. Number two, no man is going to be involved. It will be a miracle of God. And after you have the baby, you will still be a virgin. And number three, the child that you will give birth to will be from heaven, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and you will name him Jesus, which means Jehovah saves. God is going to be in this child. He will save his people from the eternal consequences of their sins. And he's going to come into the world through you. And it is through this child that men and women will be given power over the sin of their lives. This child will change the trajectory of the entire world. And God has chosen you. That would be a lot to swallow. Would you agree with me? I mean, that would be absolutely huge. So here's our lead thought this morning. I want you to think about this. Has God ever messed up your plans? Just think about that. How many of you would say that you've had your plans changed this last year in 2021? How many would you say? Would you raise your hand? Yeah, hands go up everywhere, right? Mine too. Here's the insight. God has changed the plans of every one of us at some time, because it is a universal reality based on his eternal plans for us. In other words, my life, again, my life and your life is only one small part of a much bigger story. And so God will sovereignly from time to time step into my life and yours. And while God has and does change our plans, I want you to understand this. Not everything that happens in our life should you say, well, why did God do this? Because God did not necessarily do it. Not everything that happens to us or in our life is God's will. So God does do a lot of things in our life, but not everything is God's will. So see, there are two things to understand. There's God's sovereign will, and then there's God's permissive will. Just a little something for us to think about. God's sovereign will would be when in Genesis chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, God sovereignly came to Abraham and he said, Abraham, I've got a plan for your life and I'm going to be with you and I'm going to bless you and I want to work through you and I want to bring through you the Savior of the world. Abraham didn't have anything to do with that. God just said, this is my plan for you. This is why I created you. And God didn't choose Abraham for anything in Abraham. God said, I chose you because I chose you. It was a sovereign choice. It was something that God did. And he chose David in the same way. He chose David out of all of his brothers. He wasn't the biggest. He wasn't the strongest. He maybe wasn't even the most handsome. But God chose him above all of his brothers to be king of Israel. The man through whom would come all those that would be descendants ultimately to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was a sovereign working of God. And what I'm simply saying to you is, I want you to understand there's a part of our lives that is a sovereign working of God. We don't have anything to do with it. God doesn't ask us our opinion. God just simply says, I have this plan. That would be partly my thing of being a minister of the gospel and not being a dentist. God simply said, no. If you're going to walk with me, if I'm going to be in your life the way I want to be, this is what I'm planning for you. To do anything other than that is to be outside of the reason why I made you. Does that make sense? And so there are things in our life that God is simply saying, this is not up for a vote. This is a sovereign working. It's why I created you. And so we've got that in our minds. But then there's also God's permissive will. 2 Kings chapter 20. Verse 12 through 15. It's a fascinating passage. God permitted envoys from Babylon, this growing city, this thing that was going to become a gargantuan power to be dealt with, was many hundreds of miles away from Israel. And God permitted Israel to get in their line of sight. It was his permissive will. And Babylon sends, in 2 Kings chapter 20, Babylon sends an envoy to Jerusalem, and it's under a pretense that they want to congratulate King Hezekiah because he had been at the point of death, if you remember reading in Scripture. And he said, put your house in order because you're going to die. And Hezekiah said, God, no, I want to live. I want to live. Lord, spare me. Let me live. And of course, God did that. God did spare him. And just a reminder for us, God spared Hezekiah's life. He didn't call him home like he initially planned. And God said, okay, I'll do that. And God let him live. And in the next 15 years of Hezekiah's life, he fathered the wickedest king that ever sat on the throne of Israel. His name was Manasseh. Manasseh killed and destroyed babies, men, and women out of his evil and his wickedness, which is just a lesson for us that we be obedient and yield to God's will because God has a plan. So that was a teaching lesson. And so these guys come to Hezekiah under pretense that they want to congratulate him and talk about his dramatic healing. Actually, they came to see his wealth and how they could also come and capture the city ultimately, which they did years later. Now it's in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 31, that God says, this was my permissive will. I permitted them to come. I permitted these guys to come. Why? He said, I did it all to test Hezekiah. And so there are going to be times in my life where God is going to test me and he's going to test you. And he's going to allow people to come into our life. He's going to allow people maybe to tempt us. God doesn't do it, but he permits others to do it. He's going to allow things to happen where God sees, are you going to do what I've taught you? Are you going to obey me? Or are you going to wander away from me? God wanted to know, Hezekiah, I saved your life. I gave you health. I gave you the kingdom. Will you walk in humility before me? And Hezekiah didn't. He walked in pride and arrogance that he had survived this terrible disease. He didn't give glory to God. He didn't walk in wisdom. And as a consequence, God let him ultimately sell out his own people. And that was Hezekiah's sin. He sold his people because he showed these guys from Babylon everything in his kingdom, all the wealth, all the gold. They saw everything. He guided them through the whole city. What were they doing? They're taking notes. They're taking notes. This is how we're going to take the city. This is how we can get in. This is how we can ultimately destroy this magnificent place. And so Hezekiah failed the test, God's test, and eventually they fell to Babylon. Now, listen, what I want you to understand is what Hezekiah did was not God's will. This was a bad thing. The king made a bad mistake. But you don't lay that at God's feet. Why did God do this to us? Why did God cause the king to sell us out? God didn't. Hezekiah did it. He brought the trouble on his people all by himself. And so here's the truth I want you to see in your outline. In life, we all make unwise, even dumb decisions. That's a reality. We can't lay everything at God's feet. We do things, we say things that God doesn't have anything to do with. And at times, other people cause problems in our lives. Why? Because we live on a broken planet. And sometimes we'll say, God, why did you let this happen? Why did you let this take place? Why did you let somebody come in and steal my husband's heart or my wife's heart? Why did you let that happen? You understand? God didn't do that. That is the sin of other people. Other people cause problems in our lives. We live on a broken planet. People are sinners. That means we hurt people and other people hurt us, right? That's the reality. That's true. So here's the insight. Not everything that happens in our world is God's will. And I want to make sure we understand that. You understand rape is not God's will, right? God doesn't cause that. Molestation isn't God's will. Wife or child abuse isn't God's will. Disease isn't from God. It is a product of sin in our lives. We all live every day under the curse of death. I'm going to die. You're going to die. We're going to get sick. That means birth defects. Why did God do that? He didn't. Miscarriages. Why did God do that? He didn't. Infertility. Why can I not have children? Why did God give me that desire and I can't have a child? He didn't do that. It is a consequence of sin in our body. Unfaithfulness in marriage, when a husband or a wife are not faithful to their spouse. Deceptive business partners. Why do those things happen? It's not God being mad at us. It's not God ill-treating us. That's part of the fall. We're all broken. People make dumb decisions. I make dumb decisions. You make dumb decisions. We make stupid mistakes. We say things God didn't have anything to do with. We did it. That's just balance. And I want us to see that. So here's the insight, your outline. Don't blame God for all the problems in the world. And God gets a bad rap in that. Why did God do that? God didn't do that. The world problems are from men, not God. They're not His will. And so the point of today, God intervenes in our lives and He does something special and changes our plans. So God, what I want us to do today, I want us to realize that God has some things He wants to do in your life. God wants to do something and He will do some things as needed. And God will at times sovereignly change our plans. Like in mind, Proverbs 19, verse 21. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Another version says, you can make a lot of plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. All right, so let me break this down. When God changes our plans, there are three things I want you to remember. All right, let me give them to you as quickly as I can. Number one, God changes plans, number one, to get our attention. Sometimes we're just not listening. We're not listening to Him. We get all caught up in so much things. Listen, there are times God has to permit pain to come into my life. You know, it can be a physical thing. It can be, you know, I get a kidney stone or something rupture, you know, whatever. But He can cause physical or emotional pain can happen. We can get really, really frustrated. Like yesterday, I was at the house and ultimately I came around. I said, God, are you trying to talk to me? Why? Because I got a storage building that I think is demonically inhabited. I'm not going into deep detail. It's not worth the story. But just to say, I walked in the house and I grabbed a hammer and I was going outside and Kathy said, whoa, what are you doing? And I said, I got a date with the storage building and the door and something's going to happen. And it may not be. And I was so frustrated. Ultimately, I said, Father, are you trying to talk to me? Because that's what I'm preaching about tomorrow. You know, because I am really, really frustrated. There's a story there, but it's not worth telling. I'm going to share everything. But anyway, pain, frustration, confusion, what? All those things, what do? They stop your life. You're cruising along maybe at breakneck speed, and pain, frustration, confusion happens. Why? God is trying to slow you down. Why? He's wanting to get our attention. He said, I'm trying to tell you something, but you're not listening to me. You're not paying attention. So I'm going to do what I have to do, what I have to permit and allow so that you will listen to me. The majority of us constantly surround ourselves with busyness and noise. It's happening all the time. The truth in your outline, most of the time when God wants to speak to us, He gets a busy signal. And you say, really, Pastor, are you serious about that? Listen, God, Psalm 81, verse 8. Oh, I wish my people would listen to me. Even in Bible days, God's people, their lives were full of so much noise and racket, they were not listening. And God says, I've got a perspective about the days of your life that you don't have. And so God is saying, why do I want you to listen to me? Why does God want you to listen? Because God is saying, I want to save you from a lot of problems. I want to help you understand. Proverbs 14, 12. There is a path before every person that seems right, but it ends in death. You understand, you and I can be making the decision that we think this is the way we ought to go, and it's the wrong way. And a loving father who wants to do good in your life will at times sovereignly move into our life and he'll bring everything to a screeching halt. Why? God is seeking to get our attention to say you're headed in the wrong direction. A lot of decisions we make end up being dead ends. We make decisions and we think they are right and they're good. And we say, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to marry this person. I'm going to pursue this relationship. I'm going to do this deal. I'm going to start this business. And it turns out to be a bad move. And we wonder, why did that happen? Why? You were not listening to God. I wasn't listening to God. And I turned away from God's directive for me. And I wound up doing something that cost me. Why? I wasn't listening. And the insight in your outline, we all have limited perspective. We can't see the big picture of God's plan, so we need Him in all of our decisions. And the problem is, we don't listen. And so we wind up with heartache and the pain and the problems that we never would have expected. And God is simply saying, do you understand? I only want what's good. God says, I don't want you to get burned. I don't want you to have to go through a broken heart. I don't want you to have a broken body. I don't want you to have a broken marriage. I don't want you to have broken relationship and broken dreams.
And I want to give you an insight to life if you will listen to me. But he says, my people will not listen to me. And so sometimes God brings our life to a screeching halt. And it can be pain. It can be difficulty. It can be a struggle in business or whatever. But it's something that causes us to stop. And we get mad at him. We get angry. Because we can't do what we want to do. And God is saying, I'm trying to keep you from jumping off a cliff because I love you. Don't ignore me. Number two, God changes our plans because God's got a better plan. That's good to know. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you. God says, I've got plans. Plans for welfare and not for evil. I want to give you a future and a hope. I have no idea what's going to happen in 2022. And neither does anybody that is here. I don't know what's going to happen for me. I don't know if I'm going to survive through 2022. I don't know. I don't know anything about my family. But God says, when my life is surrendered to him, when I'm saying, God, I want to live out your plan for me. I want to walk with Christ. You had me born for a reason. And I want to live your plan. I want my family to live your plan. Because God, you say you've got good plans and it will give my family, my sons, my daughter-in-laws, my grandkids, it'll give them hope. It'll give them a future. But it only does that if they follow you. If they follow you. And the truth in your outline, you can go your way in 2022. You can get the problems and the stress and the difficulties that are going to come because we're in a broken planet, living among broken people. Or you can do God's better way that he will watch over you and me, and he will use the problems and the difficulties that are going to come our way, and he'll use them for our good. Now, which would you rather have? That's a no-brainer, I think. And I can pray and say, Father, I want to do my life your way. Lord, help me do that. God's plan is far more rewarding than our plan. Look at the next truth. God's plan for your life is the key to significance and the reason why you and I were born. But understand this. I want you to hear me on this. God's plan for our life, when we are living God's plan, almost without fail, it's going to have some real hard places. My life would have hard places anyway. But the plan God has for me is going to have some hard places. But he says, be not discouraged because I'm going to be with you. And all of your hard things are going to serve a purpose. You know, when God brought Jesus into the world through Mary, that didn't necessarily make Mary's life easier. Would you agree with that? Right? I mean, her life in a lot of ways got more difficult. I mean, you had two kinds of people in the village. You know, those who maybe heard the story that, you know, this is really not Joseph's child. That's what I've heard. I mean, you know, Mary is saying that baby that she's carrying is from God. Yeah, right. Sure. We don't understand. I mean, why would Joseph want to marry spoiled fruit? Right? Do you not think people said that about her? Sure they did. Good man, that Joseph, taking a woman with straying eyes and raising her child. Or, you know, it would have been shame that Mary and Joseph, you know, couldn't wait for the wedding day. So they slept together and, you know, she's with child early. That's why, Joseph even thought about putting her away because, of course, he knew that she did not have his child. And the day before she delivers, what happens? She's on the back of a donkey making her way to Bethlehem. Any of you ladies would, you know, like at a full 9 months at term, want to be riding on the back of a donkey, you know, 20 miles on the back, you know? And we're not talking with a great saddle like you can have today or whatever. And you're going along, you know, you don't have, you know, Highway 69 or 59 or anything like that. You just got a path. I didn't think there'd be anybody sign up for that.
That had to be painful. Can you imagine that night in the manger, you know, area? There's cow poop, there's sheep, you know, that have gone everywhere around there. And all Mary's got is Joseph, a carpenter. How many births have you attended, Joseph?
None.
And here she is, this young girl. There is no woman there to help her. Who's going to deliver that baby? Can you imagine delivering your own child? I mean, who else is going to do it? There's nobody else mentioned in Scripture. It's just Mary and Joseph that are there, as far as we know. Now, if I was Joseph, you know, I'd be 13 thumbs and everything else. And Mary, undoubtedly, she had to have prayed and cried during her delivery. Father, why? You know, when I said yes to having the Christ child, I had no idea this was going to be part of it. You know, when it's exciting to know that God's got a plan for your life. Would you agree with that? To know that God says, I've got a plan for you. I'm going to work that plan. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to bless your coming in and your going out. If you'll say yes to me, I will be with you. I'll watch over and take care of you. Mary, God is going to be with you. His angels will attend your way, but none of them are going to help with the birth. And you're going to go through all of that. And she would have cried and been in pain, and she would have said, God, I don't understand. Why am I going through this? It is so hard. And I just want you to understand this insight. Much of the truth of prophecy fulfillment in the birth of Jesus, Mary didn't understand till later. So much became clear to her later. And what I'm simply saying is that much of what is happening maybe in your life right now, you don't get it. And it may be because of somebody else, or it may be the working of God in His sovereign plan for you. But what God is simply saying, you may not understand it now, but you'll understand it later. That's why John 13:7, Jesus said, what I am doing, you don't understand now, but afterward you will understand. So when our plans fall through, when we say, God, I want to do your will, when our plans fall through, you realize, number one, God's trying to get your attention. They're saying, you're not listening to me. And so plans fall through. And then number two, when God changes our plans, it's because God's got a better plan. And so number three, let me close with this. When your plans fall through, God is saying, trust me. I want you to trust me. You just think about that first time when Joseph learned that Mary was pregnant. And Mary said, Joseph, it's the Lord's work. This is God's plan for us. This baby is from the Lord. Can you just imagine Joseph saying, Mary, what? You and I both know how babies are made. There's never been any other child come into the world except there's a man and there's a woman. When has it ever happened anything different? You expect me to believe this. You got to understand the struggle Joseph went through living in the midst of God's will. And the truth in your outline, God's plan for Mary and Joseph's life was so different, so difficult. All they could do was trust. And God came to him in a dream and said, Joseph, this is from me. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. This child is from me. Now listen, there are all kinds of problems attached with that. He and Mary had not had the marriage ceremony. They were not married. She was going to be pregnant. There was going to be talk. And so Joseph ultimately had to trust God in that. And so the Bible says there's only one way to please God. And so if you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember these couple of things, two or three things that I want to close with this morning. I want you to remember, number one in your notes, when you seek God when life is falling apart. When life is falling apart, you seek Him. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. When your plans fail, the number one thing, listen, when your plans fail, when life seems like it's cratering, and you don't understand what's going on, what does God want? God is saying, I want you to seek me. I don't want you to seek a solution.
I want you to seek me. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Apart from faith, it is impossible to please God. They that come to him must believe that he is. All right, look at the question in your notes. Even in the midst of the messes of your life, do you believe God is with you? Do you believe God is with you today? Do you believe God is trustworthy? Because see, that is the issue. When my life doesn't make sense, when life is not working out the way that I think it should, and God has said, I've got a plan for you. You're here by divine plan. No child is a mistake. God has a plan. God, if I'm a plan, what in the world is going on in my life? And God is simply saying, when it looks like everything is caving in, when it looks like it doesn't make sense, that what is the question? Do you believe God is trustworthy? That Father, you will do what's right. Look at the truth of your life. God is pleased when his people trust him, because without faith, it is impossible to please him. Listen, when your plans fall through, you seek God. That's what you do. If you're going through a problem right now, listen, if you're going through a problem right now, you do not seek for a solution. Don't seek for relief. Don't seek to escape. You seek God. Father, I want you. And I want to know, what is it that you want me to do? I just want to know from you. I want to hear from you in the midst of this, because I don't understand it. And so you've got a plan. Number two, you trust God is in the midst of the problem. You trust that he knows what he's doing, and that he's permitting this in your life for a reason. He's wise, he is loving. Romans 8, 28. We know, we don't think, we don't hope, we know God causes everything to work for the good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Now listen, the Bible doesn't say God causes all that happens in my life and yours. God doesn't cause everything that happens in our life. It says, if we are his, God causes everything that happens to work for our good. Everything that happens in the life of a child of God is not good. Right? Everything that happens is not good. And God says, I didn't cause everything that happens. But I promise you, if you yield to me, I will cause everything that happens to work for your good. God said, that's what I'll do. And God says, I will bring good to you. I've had cancer. You guys know that. It's not like it's been a secret. That disease is not a good thing. That is the gift from my ancestors and the broken genes and all that passed down to me. What I had to understand is God didn't cause me to have cancer. It would have been the wrong thing for me to say, God, why did you allow this to happen? Why would it be wrong? Because I'm on a broken planet. Just because I'm a child of God does not mean I'm not going to get a disease. Huh? My body's broken. I came from a broken lineage. I could have MS. I had cancer because my body is broken and susceptible to that. But I had the promise of God that he said, if you trust me, I will work that to your good. I will do good to you through that if I trust it. If I trust it. And then number three, when life happens and our way is hard, it's a test. When plans get changed, God is testing us. Will you trust me? The truth in reality, when God tests us, the test is, am I going to trust God or am I going to trust myself? Well, I trust what he says. Even when I can't figure it out, I'll just say, Lord, you're going to work this out for my good. This isn't good. It's not good. And it's really stressful, but you'll work it to my good. So here's what we know over the next 12 months. Number one, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. That's what you know.
That's what I want you to leave here. God's got a plan. And God says, I've got a bigger plan, and I want you to be a part of it. And I want you to say, yes, God. I want to say yes to your plan. Number two, God will change some or many of our plans. He will. He's going to do that. And it's all a test. How are we going to respond? Number three, we know that whoever lives according to God's purpose will be blessed. How many of you want to be blessed by the Lord? I mean, raise your hand. You want to be blessed by God? I want to be blessed. You know what I do? If I want to be blessed, then my answer to Him is always yes. God, what do you want? The answer is yes. And no matter what comes into my life, if I turn it over to you, you will bring a blessing to me through it. It may not be good. It may not be good. I'm broken. I'm on a broken planet. It may not be good. But if my answer to you is always yes, if I am willing to do whatever you want me to do, then you will work everything to my good. I will live a blessed life. And number four, we know that God is with us no matter what we go through. Now, how can I know the truth in your outline? There are three warning signs you're not trusting God and you're not following His life plan. What are they? Fatigue, frustration, and fear. Those are the three signs that you're not tracking with Him. All right, now everybody here today is in one of three areas. Let me close with this because this is the invitation. All right, this morning, somebody here is a seeker, number one. It's your notes. You're a seeker. What does that mean? It means you've never come to the place to where you've acted on what you know is true in the Word. And that is, you've never come to the place to where you've said, I know that Jesus didn't just die for the sins of the world. He died for me. God says, I sent Christ for you. It's a personal choice. And somebody today needs to say yes to Him. Or, number two, you are a saved man or woman. You're a seeker or you're saved. You already belong to Him. And if you do, rejoice in that because you know God's working all things together for your good because you belong to Him. And you can say, Father, thank you. Father, forgive me for throwing a fit like Pastor John did yesterday. Right? Or number three, you are a stumbler. All of us stumble. All of us do what we shouldn't do from time to time. And so what's today about? Today is about us coming back to Him. I say, Lord, I blew it. But I want to be obedient to you. So I'm asking you to help me up, wash me, and I want to get back to following you. So would you bow your heads for just a moment? I just wonder this morning, and I want you to think about that. And I'm going to ask, nobody's going to be looking around. But I want to just ask you this morning, would you just be honest? Number one, would you say that you're a seeker? You know that you know you've never made a definitive decision to say, I'm trusting Christ that He died on the cross for my sins. If that's you, if you just say that, John, I'm a seeker. And I really want to know more about the Lord. I want to hear from Him. Would you just raise your hand wherever you are and put it back down? I won't embarrass you. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. Yes. Anybody else? John, I'm a seeker. Yes. Anybody else? I'm just a seeker. And I want God to speak to me. We're going to pray for that. We're going to pray for you. This morning, you know that you know that you know you're His. You say, John, I know I'm saved. Just raise your hand. Would you do that? I know I'm saved. Right. All over the place. That's so good. Our number three, John, I'm a stumbler. I know the Lord, and I've blown it, and I'm getting back. I need to get back. Amen. Thank you. Hands up everywhere. Yes, I'm a stumbler. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Thank you for being honest. Yes. Father, you see that everywhere. God, I pray right now for every man and woman. Lord, you said in the Word, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I pray this morning for men and women who raise their hands that they would call, that they'd pray the prayer that the Holy Spirit puts in their heart, that they'd confess they know Jesus died for them on the cross, and they ask you to forgive them. I pray for them. They will ask for forgiveness from you. And that they will put their whole hope of heaven and of a future, a good future, in faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you also for those who've stumbled, but who want to walk with you. They want to be with you. God, thank you that you are not a God who shames us. You are a God who lovingly puts guilt into our heart that is meant for one thing. It is meant to bring us to repentance. You don't shame us. You don't look down on us always, but you do tell us you've done wrong. You've done wrong, and you need to make it right. And so for every man and woman who knows they've done wrong, they strayed, they wandered away from you, God, may they just receive your wide open arms, that through Christ, you're willing to forgive, you're willing to cleanse them and use them again, because that's why Christ died. He didn't die for us to be shamed for the rest of our days, for the mistakes of our lives, but to respond to the guilt, the weight, the heaviness of the Holy Spirit, and to say yes to you. I wandered, I strayed. God, forgive me, cleanse me, pick me up, and let me start again. So thank you, Father, for today. Thank you. When you mess up our plans, you're trying to get our attention, and you've got a better plan for us. We bless you now, and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.